Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thaddeus Young lines up a three. No. Backed out by Carter. Taken away by White. Behind the back pass to Chris Dunn with a right-handed layup. What a delivery by Kobe White. A little wraparound behind the back pass.
Oh, yes. That is the sound of Chuck Swirsky. Chuck Swirsky, you can hear him on 670 The Score, 670thescore.com, because Bulls games are streaming on our system. So check that out if you're on the move, checking out a Bulls versus Raptors game here at the United Center. It's Herb Lawrence and Tony Gill. And right now, we are joined live at the United Center by Cody Westerlund from 670thescore.com. So, Cody, what's going down, kid?
Hey, how's it going, boys? Good to see you.
Oh, man, it's great to see you, too. I mean, the Bulls are 1-1. We're at the greatest atmosphere in the city, the United Center. And I'm not just saying that. People out there thinking I'm just blowing smoke. But no, come to a United Center game, either the Bulls or the Hawks, especially the Bulls. There's no better in-game product in this city at all.
Well, I was just saying, watching the game the last two nights, or I guess two of the last three nights with the Bulls on the road, like, it was really entertaining, you know what I mean, to watch from afar. So the Bulls are well aware that they won 9 games at home last year, which was a franchise low. It's something Jim Boylan's talked to him about. It's something the players have taken to heart. So getting a W at the United Center on opening night is something that is very important to them. We know that from listening to Jim Boylan talk.
You know, Herb, Cody, I don't know how I got you guys too mixed up.
But we don't really look alike.
But that is a big reason why Herb thinks that the Bulls will make the playoff this year, is because they had an unprecedented record at home that is going to come back to the mean of winning at home. So that'll be an extra boost in wins. So they'll be able to make the playoffs. I firmly disagree.
Well, I think if you're going to use that angle there, Herbie, as you are,
yes.
Something goes into that with having a young team. You know what I mean? Like Kobe White, we know he's going to play a big role on this team. Traditionally, young guys are more comfortable at home. There's no doubt about that. I'm probably more on Tony's side on this one, Herbie.
Because you
got to prove it. It still comes down to the talent. But there's no doubt this team needs to be a good 8 games above 500 or so at home if they're going to make the playoffs this year. Like, that has to be a threshold for them.
I mean, that's doable because, like Tony said, 9 games at home and 41 dates. I don't care if you're the worst team. You're going to run into some wins. Charlotte ran into that win versus the Bulls because they're at home for most part, and the Bulls didn't play great perimeter defense. Those things happen, especially with a team coming out from a back-to-back, partying last night. Like Toronto, they just came in from Boston, lost last night. Maybe the Bulls can catch them on an off night and, you know, get a victory. Chicago's one of the best cities for a road team to come in, you know, drinking a little bit, talking to the little females and such. I believe the Bulls will get at least minimum your 22 wins.
You're one night off here on the Raptors prediction there because it is a back-to-back. They had a very late night getting flight in. But, yes, teams love flying to Chicago early for an extra night. And that has been something, too, especially when, like, the Bulls played on Sundays more, I feel like. They haven't had the national television spotlight and audience for a long time, but when they were good in the Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Tibbs era, like, that was something on Sundays you could see them dominate. But, I mean, this team, they just got to keep doing what they're doing, though. You know, when you're looking these past couple nights, offensively, I should say, they need to keep doing what they're doing. Kobe White, Zach LaVine, huge games on Friday night, obviously. It was good to see a rhythm for those two guys at the same time, too, because in the opener, they didn't play a lot together, 8 or 9 minutes, but with Kobe earning the crunch time minutes on Friday and the win at Memphis, they did play well together down the stretch and had two playmakers, so I think that's what they need to do tonight as well.
Here's something we haven't gotten into a whole lot, you know, just yet this show, is the Bulls defensively. I took a bunch of different notes on the things that I saw that they were doing all wrong on defense. And it starts with, you know, one, a lot of straight line drive the rim, which causes rotation. And then the rotation after that doesn't work. And then the one after that doesn't work even worse. What are you seeing defensively from this Bulls team that they have to correct?
Chris Dunn and Otto Porter are really the only two guys that have stopped anyone off the dribble. You can probably put everyone else that has played significant minutes and been in the lineup as guys who are getting beat just one-on-one. And that's what it comes down to. You know, that's a little bit of respect right there. You can't have the shame to get beat off the dribble one-on-one. I mean, Lauri Markkanen, we saw him. Jaren Jackson was beating him off the dribble a lot on Friday night. Like, he's a guy, teams will bring him out and try to do that when they can if they don't want to bully him in the post. Thomas Satoransky has to be better. Zach LaVine has to be better. And, I mean, it is tough because, look, the Hornets moved the ball really well in the season opener. And once you're a step behind, it's really difficult in rotations. And you're going to face a lot of teams like that. If you're facing a well-coached team, which the Hornets were, the Raptors are a very well-coached team with Nick Nurse tonight as well, team with a championship pedigree, you're going to have the same thing. So it has to start at the point of attack. And then I don't think the Bulls should be afraid, though. I think they overhelp sometimes, too, on the initial
yes.
guy. The other thing, like, they can't be afraid to let the other team go at Wendell Carter and trust Wendell Carter Jr. to protect the rim, because there's a couple times Ja Morant had a couple really good passes where there was help from the baseline, and he found the Grizzlies guys for a dunk and stuff. Like, you got to still know that spot, stay in that position at the right time, too. So, and that's hard because you're saying, you know, your teammates getting beat off the dribble, and then other times you're saying you're overhelping. You're kind of correcting the same thing if you're the coach and telling them two things at once. But it's really instincts and takes some time.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, they don't trust them to for their guy to just stay in front of them. And it's like the overhelp is ridiculous. They're making it too obvious, leaving a lot of passing lanes for the opposition, and then they just have those open threes like we've seen in the Charlotte game, and Memphis missed a lot, you know, of open threes. But yeah, I mean, is that something that's fixable, or, you know, is this is just going to be like a constant thing with the Bulls?
It's not fixable overnight. No, this is something that takes time, a lot of time as the season goes along, especially when you got a lot of new faces, a lot of new pieces like the Bulls do. So helping that point is, you know, Thad Young getting more minutes, getting more familiar with the rest of his teammates. Kobe White just getting more experience. Zach LaVine just taking more pride on that defensive end. All those things go together.
He's supposed to do that already. Well, he was angry at people.
It's been up and down. It's been up and down so far. you need to see it all the time. And, like, this backcourt, Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet are absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. I know the Raptors lost Kawhi Leonard, but, like, their backcourt is still one of the best in the NBA. So, huge challenge for LaVine, Satoransky, Dunn, Kobe White, everyone in the Bulls perimeter tonight.
It's Herb Lawrence and Tony Gill live from the United Center, right across from the Goose Island Pub. And if you're here at the Goose Island Pub and you're coming here, go and get yourself a Goose Island if you're of age. And tip my man Will over here. He's doing a hard job over
there.
Not
the children. They're hanging out.
Yeah, children you can't drink.
Yeah, sorry.
Don't start. Cody Westerlund is joining us from 6-7 to the Score. And what I took away from these first two games is that the Bulls are not the team that I thought would be coming out. I mean, they play two below-average team.
Trash-tastic.
And trash-tastic. They're simply trash-tastic, Tony. They struggled with both of those teams. What did you take away from those first two games? I'm an optimist. I think the Bulls will still make the playoffs with this squad. I know that you and Tony don't believe so. What out of these first two games did you take away as positives and negatives?
Well, the offense has been terrific for the most part. I mean, their offensive rating was around 120. In the first game, points per 100 possessions.
I'm about to say, give the audience some context of what that is.
That's points per 100 possessions, and the Warriors put up about 116 for the entire season these last couple of years. So
the Bulls are better than the Warriors.
Yeah, that was an elite mark. That was an elite mark in the season opener. And again, it was pretty good in the second half, certainly against Memphis on Friday night. So the Bulls' offense has been, I think, what they envisioned in many ways. And look, they haven't shot the three-point shot very well yet either.
29%.
Like, Lauri Markkanen's been off a couple games from long range, or excuse me, the last night from long range, but the team as a whole has been off the mark generally too. So when that upticks, their offense is going to be fine. I think it's what I kind of expected, but I don't think there was any great shock in these first two games for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. Offensively, they wanted to play fast. I think if you want to be enthusiastic, it's like they said they were going to do something, and they've gone out and done it. And by that, I mean play quicker, shoot more three-pointers, put some faith and trust in Kobe White, and they've done that. And that's important because these past few seasons, they've said they'll do things, but then they don't really do them, partly because they don't believe in it, partly because they didn't have a roster to do it. Now they seem to have the guys to do that, and they're backing it up. So I think that's what you should have a promising kind of perspective about.
One of the things that I hear from basketball people is not if you start, but if you finish. You know, who's playing the minutes at the fourth quarter? Who's playing at the game at the end? The fact that Tomas Satoransky hasn't been finishing games, that they got to go to Chris Dunn, tells me a lot. Firstly, I saw him getting smoked by Ja Morant all night long. I mean, a lot of people are going to get smoked by Ja Morant. He's a otherworldly talent. Not of the level yet as Coby White, because Coby White's one of the best. He's the rookie of the year so far. But why do you think that Tomas Satoransky struggles so much, and why do you think that they got to go to a guy like Chris Dunn at the end of the game to close it out?
Well, Satoransky's been, it seems, very hesitant so far. I think part of that's probably just working in with a new group of teammates and such. I don't know that he knows exactly his role offensively, where you tell Chris Dunn to go out there like and just be the best defensive player you can and hound the opposing point guard. Like, he's done that before. He knows how to do that, even though he's slotting onto the second unit. The other thing with Chris Dunn, too, that's helped, I think, on the second unit is the Bulls have always wanted him to get away from the mid-range game, get away from the three-point shot, attack. Now, when you're on the second unit and it's really just Coby White and no one else with the ability to attack,
yes,
like, there's a little bit more opportunity for him. So I think he's been really comfortable in that, and just because of that, outplayed Satoransky. He had, I think, Dunn played almost 12, 13 consecutive minutes last night. Satoransky came back with about two and a half minutes left, did make a couple big defensive plays, had a steal, some free throws. So Boylan closed with him only for the last 2 minutes, but he rode Chris Dunn for a long time because he had that belief. So Satoransky's got to step up. Otto Porter Jr.'s got to step up. He's had two bad games so far.
Has he played?
He will play tonight. There was some...
Is there minutes restriction?
Nope. Okay. It's around 30 minutes, which is what they established kind of early in the season for him. But pertaining to tonight, like last night, he had a 24-minute restriction. Mm-hmm. Tonight, he won't have that.
A theme that I think all Bulls fans are concerned about is this is the year where we're finding out if Lauri Markkanen is going to be the guy versus just a guy. And I wrote that on my piece, edited by you, Cody Weston on 670score.com. Shout out to you for that. These first two games, and again, there's only the first two games, it has concerned me that the last two games have been night and day for Lauri Markkanen in terms of aggressiveness. What would you attribute to that kind of mismatch aggressiveness these last two games? And is this going to be just a thing where he's just some nights he's going to be really aggressive and other nights? Yeah.
I think it will even out a little bit, kind of regress to the mean where he won't be as aggressive as he was in the opener, won't be as timid as he was against Memphis, obviously. And I think part of it, you look, Zach LaVine had a terrible game in the opener, had an awesome game on Friday night, and Lowry's kind of on the other end of the spectrum. So they'll settle in a little bit more. I would probably just say it's more of a fluke, just kind of a coincidence early on that he had two games that were so drastically different. But I do think he understands he's got to get to the hoop. And we'll see that more as the year goes on, and that will be important for him because, I mean, he's mainly been a three-point marksman for long stretches his first 2 years in the NBA. So I think that's something, though, that's really important, too, is Zach and Lowry figuring out how to play their best together, because we talk so much about the Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, Lowry marketing pairing or trio not working, and now Dunn's out of that. How much of that was on Zach and Lowry? Like, if the problem continues, then it wasn't just Chris Dunn. You know what I mean? So he needs to step up and answer that call, too.
It just seems like they just kind of have this, okay, your turn, you know, my turn. You know, and that's not going to work. Like, if you want to do some significant winning, they have to go in together, know how to work off of each other. And it just seems like the last two nights have been, okay, Lowry, your turn. Of course, Zach, with the foul trouble, didn't get to play a lot in the first half. But then in the second game, it seems like, okay, now it's my night. And then Lowry kind of took a step
and
back.
And maybe some of that's on Jim Boylan to help him by putting him in more two-man games where they can have the pick and roll together because then they're both directly involved. So, like, that's the first thing I think about. It doesn't seem like they've done that a whole lot the first two games, just off the top of my head, remembering and seeing that. And I think that'd be a good way to go about it because – again, there's no doubt the Bulls have more options now this year, but those are still the two guys that the entire offense has to run through because they have the best ability and the highest ceiling for efficiency as well with those guys. If Zach LaVine can eliminate that mid-range jump shot, he did a really good job on Friday night. It was stuff at the rim. It was three-point shots, stuff like that. Coby White did a really good job of that too, taking good efficient shots, staying away from the mid-range as well. So that's what the Bulls want to keep seeing offensively.
This is my concern with Otto Porter not playing well and sometimes having minutes restrictions and some load management, as they call it now in the NBA. Who's his replacement? Because they have two they were drafted in the 20s and the teens in the first round, Denzel Valentine and Chandler Hutchinson, who are not getting a lot of minutes. Chandler's hurt, of course, right now, and Denzel Valentine just like the 12th man of a 12-man team. When are we going to have Jim Boylan either trust these guys to give them minutes? Because right now, I think they're mostly going with like Luke Kornet, or they're doing a three-guard rotation. When are we going to see the emergence of Chandler Hutchinson, who was drafted a couple years ago, and a guy who came off an injury last year, Denzel Valentine? Because they do have talent, but it seems like they haven't got the trust of Jim Boylan as yet.
I think Chandler Hutchinson will have trust from Jim Boylan right away when he returns from injury. I don't know how much of that's out of his track record as much as it is out of need, because they need his size and a small forward to come off the bench. But he's still recovering from that left hamstring injury. Boylan said he's doing about as good as you can be doing without playing yet. He has been doing some workouts and everything like that. So the hope for the Bulls is, what are we sitting here on a Saturday? Get him back sometime next week, maybe in the middle.
Monday at New York?
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's the case yet, but maybe by middle of next week. I mean, everything's in play there for him. So obviously Hutchinson will be a very key piece because, like you said, you brought up Denzel Valentine. He just doesn't have the trust right now. Because, look, they went through training camp and they talked about him, how important he was and liked his progress, and then he's just out of the rotation like that. And you're choosing to play three guards and at times, like, really undersized, too. I know, like, Kobe White's 6'5", but when you're trying Shaq Harrison out there and Archie Diakono, those aren't big guards, you know what I mean? So right now, basically, backup small forward minutes have been backup point guards, you know, or shifting Kobe White down there and putting another point guard on the wing. Off the bench. So that's a huge concern for the Bulls. You're absolutely right on that end.
And it goes more to Tony's point and your point. Like, defensively, these matchups, I mean, we know the wings in this league. Brian Archidiakono will get ate up by any average wing in the
no
league.
No disrespect,
yeah,
but man.
I know Brian Archidiakono is going to try hard. But, you know, sometimes a man who's 6'7", 250, is going to get right past you, Brian Archidiakono. But, you know, these guys need to step their game up, especially Denzel Valentine. I know he was hurt last year. But he's still a first-round pick from a couple of years back. And his contribute at Michigan State, I thought he was going to be like Draymond Green, but he hasn't shown as that type of level of play as yet. I mean, a smaller version of Draymond Green, not the rebounds and such.
Yeah, I think at some point, Denzel Valentine, just because there is so much wear and tear and injuries in the NBA and the rotations are ever-changing off the bench, he'll get an opportunity at some point here in the season. I don't know that it'll be in the next week or anything like that. But at some point, especially with Otto Porter Jr. having load management, if he does sit out a couple games on back-to-backs, then maybe Denzel Valentine factors in the picture. But he doesn't have a long leash right now to prove himself, you know? So when he does get that opportunity, he's got to take advantage of it immediately.
A big, you know, concern going into the season was Wendell Carter's health. And so far, everything seems to be fine. He's playing a full slate of minutes. I'm trying to stay out of foul trouble when he can. But I've liked the way Wendell has been playing defensively, being that anchor that, you know, he was touted to be. He's been doing that.
Yeah, you know, you look at plus-minus, which you won't want to put too much into on a game-by-game basis or an individual night. But, like, Friday night, he had one of the team's best marks. You know what I mean? And that's so important because even on a night that he maybe has 8 points, 8 rebounds, what he does defensively, pointing out screens, staying in the middle, maybe hedging and showing and recovering and challenging a shot. Like, that's just a possession that otherwise could have been a layup if it's someone behind him off the bench that's playing defense. It's a challenge, and the Bulls get the rebound. So I've liked everything about him so far, too. We talked so much about health for the Bulls. Like, if any of these key guys misses a significant stretch, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. So a guy like Wendell, like, they need 75 games out of him this year or more.
Can he get there?
Yeah, I think he can. If he stays away from the fluke injuries, I mean, the broken thumb, or excuse me, the torn ligament on the thumb that led to surgery was probably a fluke injury. That core muscle surgery that he had in the offseason, that's more concerning, you know, just because that stemmed from his high school days and everything. But he says he's healthy. And, I mean, do you ever know if someone's going to be fully healthy, Tony? Like, some of it's always a guess, you know. So far, so good for him, though.
All right, Cody, the game tonight versus the reigning champion Toronto Raptors. They don't have Kawhi anymore. He went to L.A. What do they have left, and what do you see tonight in the matchup versus the Bulls?
They have Pascal Siakam, who's absolutely been phenomenal so far. I think 33 and 34-point games in the Raptors' first two games.
Fouled out that first game, though, disappointingly.
He's 6'9", and he's a matchup nightmare because he can shoot threes, he can go off the dribble, and he can finish at the rim really well. And, I mean, he was a huge reason everyone talks about the trade for Kawhi. For the Raptors winning the championship. If Pascal doesn't break out and have that amazing season, there's no way they get to the finals. There's no way they beat the Warriors, probably. So he's the star now. He just signed a max extension off his rookie contract. I don't know how the Bulls are going to guard him, really, because Lauri Markkanen just got taken off the dribble a lot by Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yeah.
So if he gets a chance, that's a concern for the Bulls. I think you got to send some double teams at him. But then you bring in that Raptors three-point shooting.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are dead-eye shooters with Lowry and Van Vliet in the backcourt. So that's a concern. Otto Porter Jr., if you mix up some rotations, maybe give him minutes. But then you got Markkanen on the perimeter guarding Anunoby, who can take him off the dribble. So Markkanen needs to step up defensively. I would assume he'd get a lot of minutes on Siakam early in the game. But Jim Boylan isn't afraid to change things and mix them up, you know, sometimes early in games. So it's going to have to be a group effort. And we talk about this, like, in the offseason, too, Tony, leaning into it. Like, who do the Bulls have to guard a guy like Giannis? Well, no one in the NBA really has someone to guard Giannis. It felt like the Bulls really didn't. Well, Siakam's a lesser version of Giannis, obviously, but presents many of the same matchup problems with his ability to take you off the dribble and get to the hoop.
Yeah, we've seen that just in smaller portions, like in Jaren Jackson, who I believe is going to be a really, really good player in this league. And he kind of had his way, you know, with the Bulls' bigs. And this is an upgraded version of what they saw last night in Memphis. And it might get ugly. So I'm very interested to see, you know, defensively what Jim Boylan has planned, considering their defensive rotational problems.
My advice for the Bulls would be to make sure they score at least 120 points themselves to mitigate some of those defensive concerns. Because, like, you think, like, maybe you should give Siakam a little space on the perimeter. Well, he's 7 of 12 on three-point shots in his first two games. Like, that's probably not a good idea either. So, big challenge in the Raptors, no doubt.
What you're explaining is the Willie Green offense. You score 30, your man scores a buck.
Who's Willie 35. Green?
You don't know who Willie Green from Detroit Mercy? Man, he used to score a lot of points, but his man would score 35, though,
hey,
on him
more,
every night.
More recently, that was the Jabari Parker explanation.
There you go, there you go, Tony, for younger folks, like Jabari Parker.
Score 14 and your other guy scores 25.
Yeah. No disrespect for Jabari will be happening today.
And at the end of the game, you'll be like, hey, y'all, I scored 30. Where the rest of y'all at? And everybody's like, your man scored 35. But, yeah, that's what the Bulls got to do tonight. And Memphis doesn't have anybody who could shoot the outside jumper like the Toronto Raptors. So if the Bulls get beat off the dribble by OG Anunoby, they get beat off the dribble by Siakam, and there's a help, the guy there for Wendell or somebody, it's going to be a guy wide open, Rockford's finest friend, Fred Van Vliet, to knock that three-pointer down. So I hope it doesn't get ugly. I hope the Bulls are energized because it's their only home game in their first five, so they need to get this victory before they go back on the road to battle the Knicks on Monday.
Sounds like you're predicting like a 135-130 game in regulation.
Do it hurt?
I'm predicting the Bulls to win tonight. Forget the reigning champion, Toronto Raptors. No more Kawhi means an L for them. Bulls tonight.
I like it.
This crowd is hyped up.
You can be that over there by yourself.
I guarantee it. I'm putting it on my Twitter. Bulls winning tonight, guaranteed. Man, right. Bump the Toronto
That's Herb
Raptors.
Lawrence, everybody. Eknarol23 on Twitter.
T-Dot ain't nothing now without Kawhi.
But Kobe.
Burn the city down.
Cody.
You call me Kobe?
I call him Kobe because my question is about Kobe.
That's a great compliment.
You keep
on
messing Cody up with other black people. Me, Kobe White. He's white as hell. Stop calling him other black people.
This is not what I expected.
My question is about Kobe White. Is it fair to expect this kind of output throughout the year? And it's, you know, something that the Bulls have needed, you know, to stay in games and win games. Is it fair to expect that type of output throughout the year from a rookie?
If you're talking 25 points per game, no. I think he's averaged about 21 per game through the first two. Probably not. But, yeah, everything he's provided off the bench, the three-point shooting, the ability to take guys off the dribble, look comfortable, get to the hoop, and just play with poise, there's no doubt. Like, I mean, if you can do it in the first two games of the season, I know it's 82 over the course of the season, and Jim Boylan tonight just said greatness is defined by consistency when he was asked about Kobe White. But when you look that comfortable doing so, and keep in mind, he has 9 assists and 1 turnover. That 1 turnover in 2 games is an important number because it's not like he's going out there and playing really fast and out of control and happening to score too. He's played in control, so that's what makes me think he can certainly be a guy who heats up off the bench on a nightly basis as a 6-man, averages, you know, mid-teens in points. There's no reason he can't.
That is the voice of Kobe White. I mean, Cody Westerlin, 670thescore.com. He edits Tony's stories when he writes in something bad, and he makes it look good so you can see it on the website. And he does his own stories, and he's here for every Bulls home game, just like Tony Gill is. My name is Herb Lawrence. I'll be here with Tony.
See? I told you it's hard.
With Tony Gill until 6:45. We're right outside the Goose Island Pub, right by Section 109-110 at the United Center. So join us right here on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
It's my first time doing a show, Tony, not yours.
Turn your mic on, dude.
Turn the mic on before you speak. Actually, you can speak, but no one will hear you if you don't have the mic on. It's Herb Lawrence, the guy who messed up, and Tony Gill, his first show ever. He keeps the mic on.
Yep.
Here live from the United Center. We're right at the Goose Island Pub, Section 109, 110. Come over here and see us. See my man pour him drinks. Come and get yourself one.
You got a couple minutes.
Tip him out.
Down.
Yeah, tip
I'm
him
hungry.
Out. The pregame, that's what we're leading up to, starts at 6:45. It's David Schuster with the pregame live here from the United Center. And Tony, before we get started with this last segment, let's go with the bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football.
Go Cats!
Join Northwestern Football at Ryan Field this fall when the Wildcats host Iowa, which they did today, Purdue, and Minnesota in Big Ten play. Single game tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. There's a huge basketball game on tonight, as I was talking with Cody Westerman before this last segment. They have one home game in the first five that they play. Mm-hmm. That is tonight versus the reigning champion Toronto Raptors. What do you see going down tonight as far as the matchups, the people that the Toronto Raptors have? Because most people don't know that Kawhi Leonard went to L.A. I don't know if you knew this, Tony. He went to L.A. I don't know if you see commercials.
And they look good, too, man.
Maybe it was not publicized a lot. So the Toronto Raptors are without Kawhi, but they're not a bum team.
No. No, not at all. Like Kobe mentioned, Pascal Siakam. He showed up last year, most improved player of the year, and I think he's prepared to take that, you know, that next step, that all-star step, that stable of the franchise step. And, I mean, he's looked good so far in his first two games. And, again, the Bulls don't have anybody that can stop him. Nobody with the size, nobody with the foot speed.
Otto Porter? No?
Radio silence.
Wow, no love for Otto Porter?
You just ripped for Otto Porter. What are you talking about?
I ripped him because he hadn't shown up offensively, but I'm sure he can keep in front of Pascal Siakam, a guy that many of these people who are listening right now have never heard of.
No, but they're about to, after tonight, they'll be familiar. I mean, same thing with last year when Denver came here and Nikola Jokic. Nobody knew who he was except for, like, you know, all the basketball heads. I knew what was coming to the United Center when Denver came here, and he showed up and he showed out when he was here. Same, like, if you don't know Pascal Siakam, you're about to get to know him. And the Bulls defense is about to get a lot of Siakam. And he's going to be the linchpin for everything that they do tonight. Again, another thing to watch for if you're watching the game from at home or if you're here is watch those defensive rotations. See how they guard Pascal Siakam. Are they going to be sending that double team early? It's going to be weird because, again, their rotations aren't the best right now. Leaving wide open shooters on this team specifically will be a detriment.
What do the Bulls do on offense or defense that will give Toronto Raptors some trouble, some difficulty tonight, if anything?
The Bulls have the ability to kind of catch people on mismatches. I'm slurring my words here. I'm good. But, yeah, they can take advantage. Like, Laurie is still a mismatch on certain guys. If you get I'm pretty sure Pascal's going to kind of start off on him. But if you get Pascal off of Laurie, he can take advantage of the smaller people on Toronto, which I'm definitely looking forward to see if he can add some more aggressiveness to his game, get to the rim, get to the free throw line. The most important things that I want to see Laurie do tonight. It's got to be Zach. You can't get Charlotte Zach. No, you have to get the Zach that we saw in Memphis yesterday. Start out the game early, attacking the rim, getting comfortable, get into a rhythm. Coby White has to show up. I know it's a lot, you know, to have that on the rookie, where you're expecting that he has to show up every game. But in order for them to make that playoff push, you know, that they got to make up that game that they lost to Charlotte. And doing it with their home opener tonight will be a right way to start it.
Now, the Bulls last night got better in the second half because of Coby White and Zach LaVine being fearless inside the paint, going at the bigs right in their chest. Is there an advantage there maybe because who's out there? Marc Gasol is probably in the center position for
former defensive player of the year.
I mean, he's older, so he's not that guy anymore.
He's still a smart player, though.
Yeah, is there a chance the Bulls can take advantage of Marc Gasol in his older age with a Coby White, with a Zach LaVine, maybe even 7-foot Lauri Markkanen sees the paint like he did in Charlotte and attacks it like a grown man?
I mean, Marc Gasol is such a smart player and a smart defender. I mean, he won a defensive player of the year for a reason. You know, he's not the most athletic guy, but he knows where to be defensively. He is the anchor for a defense. He calls out, hey, screen right, hey, watch your back, hey, I got your back. Like, he is a constant communicator, something that I wish the Bulls would pick up on sooner rather than later. That on defense, you have to be consistent in your talking. That's what Marc Gasol does. You may can catch him, you know, on the perimeter, on a couple switches, on a good screen, maybe here or there. But Toronto is a very good team defensively. Having Kawhi Leonard was a bonus last year. Now they know the mentality and what it takes to win, you know, tough games. And I think they can do it. And I think they'll make a decent playoff run. I don't think they're going to win a championship this year at all. But they're still a really, really good team.
Is it as simple as they had one of the best players, Kawhi Leonard, on their team last year to win the championship? Or is there something that Nick Nurse did specifically that was better than what Dwayne Casey did the years before?
Yes.
Are you saying yes to both of those?
Tony? Yes.
Which one is
both of them?
Okay.
Both of them.
So which is more? Which is the more important thing, having Kawhi or having Nick Nurse?
Well, obviously having the superstar player is the most important thing that you want to do if you want to win a championship. Mm-hmm. It's an oddity that Pistons team, you know, won a championship without a true superstar. Like, that's an anomaly. If you want to win a championship, having a superstar, having a Hall of Fame player, first ballot guy is going to get you to that championship window.
Is Pascal Siakam getting into that?
I don't think so. Okay. I think he's a really, really, really good player. Don't get me wrong. But in terms of a super duper star like Kawhi Leonard, that level, I mean, it was already tough enough, you know, a matchup for them to win last year. And that was just, they had just the one, you know, Kawhi Leonard. So having that guy matters at the NBA level. The Bulls don't have that right now. At least nobody has shown that ability to take it to that level. But again, having Kawhi Leonard matters a whole lot if you want to win the championship.
All right, last question I have for you.
And okay.
We appreciate all you guys listening out there to Tony Gill on his first show. And my name is Herb Lawrence, if you guys don't know. Tony Gill runs a podcast. It's called the No Zones Podcast.
Yes.
Tune in. It's on the radio.com app. Check it out. But Tony, tonight, Raptors, Bulls, what's your prediction?
Raptors 120, Bulls 110.
Man, you got the Bulls losing?
Yeah.
Come on, Tony.
What?
Come on, Tony.
I'm being honest.
I mean, that's good that you're being honest, but you can't give the fans a little bone?
No, I keep that same energy. No,
okay.
I keep the same energy.
I think the Bulls are going to win. It's going to be 135 to 133. How about that, Tony? We're running things.
That's a lot of points.
Oh, we're old school Denver Nuggets style.
A lot of points.
Alex English style. We're coming out and we're doing work because I don't think Marc Gasol is the player that you think he is. I think they're going to be taking it to his chest.
Okay.
Lauri Markkanen is going to remember that he's 7 foot. Okay. He's going to be taking it to his chest. They scored 76 points, as Bill Winnington said, in the paint versus Charlotte. I understand that Charlotte's not the same as the Toronto Raptors, but this is at home. This is their home opener. They only have one in the first five games. They have to show out tonight.
There will be.
With the energy that's showing right now. I mean, you feel the energy just in the where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. We're right by the Goose Island Pub. It feels like these people are ready to explode. They're ready for Bulls basketball. They're ready for a playoff team like I'm predicting. I know you're down on the Bulls. You're Debbie Downer.
I'm realistic.
I'm real about these Bulls. I love the
realistic.
Bulls. This is my favorite team.
It's not.
I mean, I don't have a team anyways. I don't root for any team.
Well, Illinois, yeah.
Except for Illinois basketball. Yeah.
But if you're listening to this right now, Herb mentioned I host a podcast called No Zones. After every home game, we're going to be giving you a podcast. So tonight, after the Bulls game tonight, you will be getting a new No Zones episode, and we're going to be talking about this game and what happens throughout. Cody Westerlund's going to be there. It's going to be awesome.
All right. That's Tony Gill. My name is Herb Lawrence. Thank you to Marshawn for helping in the engineering, to Shane hooking it up. Thank you back to Mike Chen, to Cody Westerlund, to Bill Winnington for joining us. We'll be seeing you later on tonight, right after we stop speaking and there's some commercials played at David Schuster's pregame right here on 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.